My name's Marianne Birkby, and the group that I founded in 2008 is called Radiation Free Lakeland. We really sort of set up because I was previously a member of Friends of the Earth, and it kind of was becoming clear that, you know, their priority wasn't to focus on nuclear. It was more sort of climate focus. So there's issues coming up, like the plan for new nuclear build and the plan for geological disposal, and that was for intermediate level wastes. Then it wasn't including the plutonium, which it is now. But anyway, we set the group up, and from 2008 to 2013, we had a very, very steep learning curve in, you know, sort of campaigning really vigorously. Lots of things that we did. For instance, we did a walk up Scawfell to show that that's how deep the nuclear dump would be, 1,000 meters. So we actually took some banners up to the top, and the banners were called Save Our Lake District. And yeah, so we did lots of colourful things like that alongside lobbying the councillors. And in 2013, Cumbria County Council actually said that they would no longer go forward with steps, as they called it, towards the geological disposal facility, which at that time was planned under land. The areas they were looking at was Ennerdale, and also on the coast of Cumbria as well. But yeah, so we had a really sort of steep learning curve, and lots of campaigning to do to achieve that. Yeah, but this time round, I mean, then it was Cumbria County Council, and the leader of the council was a chap called Eddie Martin. And remember the very first petition we took to Barrow Town Hall, actually, it was, I think we only got about 2,000 signatures on the petition. And anyway, you listened to our presentation. We were quite naive, you know. We were sort of saying things that the nuclear dump wouldn't be as we didn't realize just how serious it was at that time. And so yeah, that was the very first sort of presentation of a petition. And you know, he kind of listened to us, but he said, well, you know, I'm taking on board the what the, as they were called then, Managing Radioactive Waste Safely Partnership, are talking about, and I'm going to be going over to Canada and France and all this. And they did. They paid for him to go all over the place, the nuclear industry, but it kind of backfired because what he saw actually, and what he learned about the, you know, actually putting nuclear waste into deep into geology. He kind of realised that it was a really bad idea. And I mean, his speech to the council, in this was in Carlisle in 2013, was really powerful. You know, he was saying that nuclear waste, it's like a 2-year-old. You can't leave it alone because it gets into absolutely everything. It's got to be looked after. It's got to be monitored. It's got to be repackaged. You know, like 2-year-olds have to be, have to be cleaned up every now and then. He gave a very powerful speech, and that was the end of that process at that time.
Well,
So,
I mean,
what
that's
government
actually
did?
quite amazing, Marianne, because quite often people like this are seduced by the industry. They're spending loads of money on carting them all around the world. They do this on purpose in order to try to get them on board and to guilt trip them. But it sounds to me like you've got someone with a bit of spine there. But, you know, before we talk about
We
what's
did
happening
have.
now, You've raised a few issues there, and I think we should start by looking at the attitude of Friends of the Earth. Myself, formerly a Green Party candidate back in the noughties, and I was absolutely horrified to see the Scottish Greens embracing the idea of extending the life of nuclear reactors, really ignoring the links between the nuclear weapons industry and nuclear power. And so it sounds to me as if something similar has been happening in Cumbria, in Sellafield. And I suppose we ought to maybe mention that Sellafield is an epicentre for all of this because of the very first reactor power station in the country, which was called Windscale. And the horrific fire that happened there with a load of radioactive waste, I think, was it in the 1960s? I'm not sure, 50s maybe even, that were belched out
57,
from the
57 it
tower.
was, yeah.
Yeah, so this wasn't a good place to start, but they changed the name, didn't they? They realized Windscale was a
Yeah.
like Chernobyl or Fukushima was a watchword for nuclear disaster and radiation pouring out all over the place. And so they changed the name to Sellafield, which is now used as a reprocessing steel plant still. But what's been happening is not just waste from Britain's nuclear power stations, but from all over the world has been shipped to Sellafield. They m market it as a place where they can enrich the fuel and reprocess it and turn it into more fuel. Whereas, of course, as part of that process, there's masses of nuclear waste being generated, which is extremely t super toxic and can persist for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of years. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't make it safe. You can possibly send it on a rocket into the sun, but I don't even think the sun would like it very much. But there's nothing you can do with this
I
stuff.
doubt it, yeah, absolutely nothing.
Could you just say something about this relationship with the Green, or maybe the Green Party? I'm not sure, but certainly with Friends of the Earth, because it's a little bit worrying when a campaign group that's been doing good stuff for many years turns away from one of its core jobs, which is to protect the planet from nuclear waste. This is a total disaster if an environmental campaign has given up on this, pretty much.
Yeah, well, that was the whole reason why Radiation Free Lakeland set up. I mean, I'm not actually a sort of person that likes to take a lead on anything, but we sort of felt that we had to. I mean, I was a very keen member of Friends of the Earth and did lots of campaigns with them on GM crops and nuclear, lots and lots of things, but it was kind of like, really, sort of from two late 1990s, really, that they sort of started winding, backing away, really, or backpedaling from nuclear. And I remember so many motions to conference. I went to conferences and we voted again year on year to say yes, we want to campaign on nuclear. It's really important. And all the hands went up, but the motions were never. They were never passed. It was like, oh, well, we can't do that because we're focusing on climate, which was really frustrating, to say the least, and also, as you say, extremely worrying. And it felt like you were banging your head against a brick wall. It just was incredibly sort of visceral for me, as a, I was quite a loyal Friends of the Earth kind of person. And it just felt like a complete betrayal of everything. If you're not opposing nuclear, which really has the potential of all industries to end all life on planet Earth, then really, what is the point of being a friend of the Earth? It's kind of it's a very sort of
Sorry,
a
could you just
visceral thing.
clarify? So, was it that motions were being voted down by the Friends of the Earth membership, or was it just that they weren't being implemented by the leadership of Friends of
They
the Earth?
weren't being implemented. No, the motions were all hands went. Everybody's hand almost went up, but the motions are then looked at, and the board and the directors or whatever of Friends of the Earth then decide to what to do, what to take on,
Well, it's look,
and
I mean,
those
what
were
do you
never.
think was going on there? Because you do have to question if the Friends of the Earth are saying, well, the shutdown of, say, gas-fired power stations is more important than the shutdown of nuclear power stations. Now, clearly, the nuclear power stations are far, far more polluting, and they're far more connected to the weapons industry than gas. So, did you get any sense at all of what was going on in their heads?
No sense at all. Not any. But I kind of felt like there'd been some sort of deal done, because it was around the Department of the Energy and Climate Change was formed, and it felt like a sort of deal was done, not just Friends of the Earth, but Greenpeace too. They backpedaled on active. I mean, they're quite happy to be asked, when something happens, like when this, anything happens regarding nuclear, Friends of the Earth are always the go-to people that the media like to go to. As for actually doing any active campaigning on nuclear, unless I've missed it, it's kind of been non-existent. And my feeling is that there was some deal done between NGO, big NGOs and government when the Department of Energy and Climate Change came in. It was kind of like, oh well, we're giving climate change a whole department, and in a sort of quid pro quo, you will agree not to overtly campaign on nuclear.
Yeah, well,
You
I mean,
won't.
it is pretty shocking what's going on. I did an interview recently with Stop Burning Trees about the closing down of Drax, which was one of the biggest coal-fired power stations in Europe, in North Yorkshire. And I mean, all these big cooling towers, loads of coal being fed in there originally from the Yorkshire mine pits, coal mines. That was all shut down, of course, by Margaret Thatcher in the 1980s with the miners' strike. So they started importing the coal. And then that's more recently has all been closed down because of the climate campaign. But they're now instead burning these little pellets made from virgin forests in the United States and shipping them over by boat and feeding those into the power station. So, there's so much, it seems to me, around the energy industry going on, which is horrifically anti-environment. I mean, whether it's pushing nuclear or burning trees, burning forests in order to replace coal or gas or whatever, it doesn't really. It seems to me as if this energy business is like some kind of sabotage, really, of the planet. Under the guise of green energy. But anyway, look, back to the nuclear, because I think it's important to understand what's been going on recently in Cumbria. So could you just take us through these what's been going on, and particularly with these plans to, you're talking about geological. I mean, the idea is they're trying to dig great shafts into the earth near where you live, and basically pour this nuclear, well, not pour it, but put it in, I suppose, barrels or something that they say is safe, and just shove it down into the earth. I mean, it reminds me actually a bit of that brilliant series in the 1980s, The Edge of Darkness, which funnily enough was filmed in our college where I was studying at Ilkley, with Michael Meacher as one of the stars of the show, and Joanna Whalley. It was quite a lot of fun when they all this BBC drama film crew turned up in the early 1980s to film it. But in that drama, if people haven't seen it, there's a whole campaign of people that try to go down into old mine shafts where nuclear waste has been being dumped. And it's really all about the connection between the weapons industry, NATO, and the nuclear power business. But anyway, what is actually going on now? Because this idea of burying waste, I mean, it seems to me that this is, it's almost like out of sight, out of mind. They just want to get it out of the way.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, the idea is that I think there was a Flowers report, wasn't there, in the 1970s that said that there needed to be a plan then to get then well not just a plan but a way to actually reasonably beyond all doubt beyond reasonable doubt anyway actually make the waste safe. life for for the long term. And that was sort of a criteria for new nuclear build. So I think the whole push for geological disposal is to actually say that yes, we have a plan, and we're going to put it all underground, and it's going to be safe and marvelous, and all the communities are going to get loads of money and lots of sort of community centres and hospitals and all sorts of things with nuclear funding on the back of the accepting a deep. Very deep geological, so-called geological disposal facility, but it doesn't actually dispose of the waste. That's the key thing. It's still there, and it's still generating enormous amounts of heat. And this plan is different to previous plans. I mean, we're talking about Friends of the Earth, but Friends of the Earth, to give them credit, were absolutely brilliant in the 1990s when Cumbria County Council then. Wanted to refuse the NIREX plan, which was kind of the then Quango that was looking at nuclear waste, and Friends of the Earth fielded like dozens of scientists for this public inquiry, but that plan was actually for low level and intermediate level wastes, whereas the plan now is for high level wastes and plutonium. And this means that the waste would actually have to be spaced out in massive, massive area of 37 kilometers square. And the reason for that huge area is because the waste would be so viciously hot. I mean, we're talking about 200 degrees centigrade, which is about, I don't know, gas mark 8 or something. I don't know. It's a high gas mark on your oven anyway. It's kind of a massive thing now that it's such a bigger and much more dangerous plan, and yet it feels like local communities have been sort of abandoned a bit by the big NGOs. There's already South Holderness in Yorkshire of they initially volunteered, because of the massive amounts of money that were being proffered. So, but then when it went to a vote with the full council, there was huge hue and cry that it shouldn't go any further. So that was stopped. Lincolnshire, they volunteered, for the to look at the geology, and again there was a massive hue and cry and a full vote and a full debate, and the plan was stopped. But here in Cumbria, we no longer have. Cumbria County Council, that's gone. That's long gone. We've now got a unitary council of Cumberland and Westmorland and Furness. And it's Cumberland Council. Originally, it was Copeland Council that actually put forward, for volunteering, and that was only four councillors, just four councillors, and one of those was in the pay of the nuclear industry. To the tune of, I don't know, £100,000 or something for lots of different quangos that he was on and still is on. So there was just four councillors that took a sort of delegated decision to take Cumbria once again into this plan. And it's just incredible. I mean, the sort of corruption and lack of democracy involved. I mean, this is the only area that's volunteered without having the council having a full vote and a full debate, like they would do with a, I don't know, conservatory or something. But this is like the biggest development ever in the UK. It's probably I mean, it's actually the most dangerous geological disposal plan in the world. There's nowhere else in the world that's talking about putting plutonium. So deep underground and high level waste, and under the, not just underground, but under the sea. And we've
Well,
been
I mean,
speaking to
it's pretty shocking to hear all this, but do feel free, by the way, to name names if you want of these individual councillors, especially if they're taking money from nuclear related. They're obviously not independent. I mean, these people should, if they're involved in a decision like that, should step away from the table, say, well,
Exactly.
I declare
Yeah,
my
yeah.
interests, I rec you know recuse myself from this decision, because you're not allowed to, in public life, take part in a decision which you have a financial interest in.
Yeah. No, that's true. Well, the chap is David Moore, Councillor David Moore, and he's very, very pro-nuclear. He sits on New Leaf, lots of different quangos, for the nuclear industry. He's kind of wheeled out by the press as they don't say all this. They say a local farmer isn't supporting the geological disposal facility. Well, that's not entirely the case. And he never declared his interests. Oh, and also, I think his wife worked. Well, I don't think. I kind of know his wife works for the Civil Nuclear Constabulary. So it's kind of,
Yeah, it's in the family,
there's
quite
lots of
obviously.
different in. It's lots of different nuclear interests there, and we actually around about 30 people signed a petition. Well, not a petition. It's more of a sort of a letter of complaint to the police. For this to be investigated. The police put us off for years. I spent years pushing for this to happen. And then when we got the reply back after, sort of massive amount of effort, they said that they wouldn't be doing anything. And when I asked why and what the justification was, they said that that was sort of not in the public interest. They wouldn't tell me why that, because obviously this is withholding your interests when you're a councillor, taking a massive decision like that is basically illegal. It's a criminal act,
No, well,
and
you're right.
people have
It's
actually been jailed
actually
for
malfeasance, which is a
that.
criminal offence up to life in prison. So I mean, it's typical, I suppose, of the modern police that they don't take any notice of these criminals. One wonders whether they're themselves part of the same kind of criminal network. But anyway, look, I mean, this is obviously massively important. I mean, the idea of dumping all this high level waste. Plutonium, I mean, that, I am surprised to hear that that's being dumped, because isn't that quite valuable to use in nuclear weapons?
Well, that was the whole reason for Windscale actually being there. The whole reason for building that that horrible thing on the coast was for plutonium. That's it. That was the reason. It wasn't for electricity. The electricity it produced was negligible. It was for the plutonium, and now the big plan is to bury that plutonium under the seabed. Alongside the Lake District Boundary Fault, alongside Sellafield, which is going to be there for another, I don't know, 200 years decommissioning. And so, you're going to, the even without the putting nuclear waste into this massive mine, just the mining itself, we know that mining induces earthquakes. So you're going to put an enormous mine, right next to Sellafield. It just is crackers.
Well, it sounds,
It
certainly sounds
absolutely
it. I mean, it's someone is trying to get rid of this stuff, and they're not. They're trying to go round the public. And all, I mean, it's surely this is an area. It's a national park, the Lake District, in this area. Is any of this being considered as an environmentally important place that nothing like this should ever be allowed to take place in a national park or even next door to it?
Well, this is where it gets really weird. You probably heard of Friends of the Lake District, who are part of the Council for the Protection of Rural England. They've actually joined the partnership with the Nuclear Waste Services, who are the developer. So they're kind of part of the whole shebang, really. And they were The reason we've written to them multiple times, lobbied them, spoken to them, saying this is absolutely wrong. You know, for the premier landscape and heritage organisation in the Lake District to be cozying up to the developer that's planning the most dangerous and really obscene nuclear waste dump that you can imagine on the Lake District coast. And they're sort of excuses to say, well, you know, we want to be in the tent so that we can push for the any environmental benefits that we can do. Well, there's absolutely no environmental benefits that they can be lobbying for on this. And you know, it's just utter madness.
Well, it sounds like they should be
Yeah,
definitely opposing it.
that's just,
But I mean,
yeah,
I
well,
mean,
they're
what you've been
opposing.
telling me is a whole series of incredible stories. Surely all of this is of interest nationally, certainly as much as, say, for example, a new runway at Heathrow or Gatwick, in terms of environment. The idea of burying unprecedented amounts of extremely dangerous waste under the ground, things that have been tried in the past and through public pressure have completely failed. Now this stuff is going on. Tell me about the attitude of the press. Have they been listening to you? Have you actually managed to get hold of the press to take an interest in all of this and to cover it properly?
Only to a limited amount, and not so much the local press. The national press did do something about the seismic blasting of to test the geology of the Copeland area. And as you know, seismic blasting is really detrimental to marine life. You know, it goes on for sort of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and this went on for about, I don't know, over a month anyway. It was a long time. And the David Muir was actually quite insulting, really, you know, to campaigners. He said, yes, this is in the national press. I think it was on a BBC article. He said, oh, I've had lots of. And then he paused and said, odd people that have been opposing it, but you know, we're doing it really safely, and it's there's no detriment to the wildlife whatsoever, and you know, everything's fine and dandy. So yeah, we got 55,000, oh, I think it's over that now, signatures on a petition, and the council just airily brushed it away, saying it doesn't matter, you know, it's we're just going to go ahead and say okay to this.
Okay, so what stage is it at now then? This deep. I mean, it's interesting that they're saying it's disposal when it's actually not disposal. You're quite right. You're just storing
Absolutely,
the
yeah.
stuff. You're not disposing of it. You're just burying it away. So, what stage
Not
is
even
it all at
not in
now?
storing. Well, they're not even storing it. You know, it's they're abandoning it. I mean, what we're sort of saying is that the waste should be stored, it should be repackaged, it should be monitored, it should be looked after, and certainly no more waste should be arriving at Sellafield. But yeah, it's not, they're not, it's not storage, it's kind of you know,
It's dumping.
it's
That's
definitely
what
not,
it is. It's
it is a
dumping.
dump. Call it what it is. Yeah, you're right, it is a dump, and it's the worst kind of dump that you could
So
imagine.
what I'm trying to get at is what stage are we at right now? We've got this chap, Ed Miliband, who's the Energy and Climate Secretary, or whatever he's called. He's supposed to be in charge of all this sort of thing, I'd imagine, is he?
Yeah, well, he's kind of said yesterday, wasn't it, that the right to have a test of public support, and we're talking about this test of public support that they're talking about would only be the immediate areas of where the mine shafts would be that went out underground to the subsea dump. And those immediate areas are the areas that have been getting millions of pounds of money from the nuclear waste services. It's all public money. So what Ed Miliband is basically saying is, we don't trust that our bribery is going to work, and we're not going to give people a test of public support. That's what he's saying. He's saying even with £1 million of bribery, we're not convinced. We're not sure it's going to work because there's already rumblings. People in the areas Witcham, Milham, Kirksandton. This is in South Copeland. They're very wanting to withdraw from the process, but it's only Cumberland Council that's got the right of withdrawal. So all those little places, you know, where this would be, they don't have a say. It's just the Cumberland Council, and only four of them have voted. And you know, it just is incredible. And then you've got Seascale, you know, the village of Seascale, which was called the at one point, you know, when Windscale was sort of being built, and it was called the brainiest place in Britain because it's got lots of scientists there, and you know, that's a really lovely village. You've got a beautiful, beautiful beach, all contaminated by Sellafield. But Seascale, who are probably the most nuclear complicit village in the country, have said, we don't want this nuclear dump. It's not right for our village.
These are the people that know. It
Ex
seems to me like so often
Live with
happens with
it.
these government projects is they try and do it all on the quiet and hope that people don't find out fast enough. Anyway, look, any idea when this is due to happen?
You know, and there is a feeling that they're not even bothered when it happens because they've got, you know, they say we've got a plan. So the plan, you know, we've got a plan for the waste so that we can build new nuclear, we can build Hinkley, we can build Sizewell, we can build all these SMRs, which are going to produce even more waste and more dangerous wastes. So I don't think they're too bothered about the timeline. But in the meantime, you know, people in the areas are suffering blight already. You know, people are trying to sell the houses. They can't sell the houses. The actual value of the houses has gone down 25% at least. You know, it's so it's already having a big impact on people. And this is without you know, even a turf being cut. And the person that's actually just this is just the cherry on the cake of all these stories of you know, sort of corruption. But the person who's at the government have appointed to do the investigations and the mining is the head of West Cumbria Mining, and that's the coal mine that was refused by government. And
Right,
he was
so that's
actually
a
given the
sop.
area.
That's a sop to him, really, isn't it? Anyway, look,
Well, no,
if people,
he was given that beforehand.
he was what?
He was given that role in 2019.
Oh.
But it's never been highlighted in the press, really. It's kind of like we've tried, you know, we've lobbied for him to be removed from that position. No, he was given that position even while the coal mine inquiry was going on.
Right, so I wonder whether, you know, the coal mining thing was a bit of a cover for what was really going on. Anyway, look, Marianne, how do people find and follow you, and particularly if you've got a petition that people around the country can look at, sign and follow? Because these petition websites are quite clever. Many of them will mail you when there's developments on whatever it is. You know, you're doing. So what advice have you got for people who want to keep following this and keep an eye on it?
Well, you can find all the petitions at if you just Google Radiation Free Lakeland, you will find everything there. Or even Lakes Against Nuclear Dump, whatever's easiest to put in. But yeah, we're there anyway. And there's a petition against the council. Well, it's asking the council actually to have a full debate and a full vote. That's a petition. That's an important petition that we've got at the moment, especially with Ed Miliband's thing that you know people might not even get a chance to have this so-called test of public support. The only democracy that would happen is for the Cumberland Council to actually hold a full debate and a full vote. I asked the council leader about this, and he said it's not the right time. So we're 4 years into this sort of process. And then he said, it'll happen when I say so. And I said, well, what about democracy? And he said, it is democracy. I'm the elected leader, not you. So there you go. Our glorious leader has spoken. And that chap's called Mark Fryer. And he's a Cumberland council leader who's denying the full council a debate and a full vote.
Okay, Marianne Birkby from Radiation Free Lakeland, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.
From Nuclear Free Wasteland, is it?